Yuma came to us and said, go nuts and just do what you think would look good. I was called to the T-Series office by Mr. Sandeep Reddy. So I was like, something has gone seriously wrong, and I obviously a little anxiety and whatnot.
He's pushing boundaries with innovative tech. He's expanding business to new heights. He's the third generation entrepreneur. Introducing our first guest, please welcome Mr. Anant Rungta, Managing Director of the Famous Studios.
Before we get into the episodic content, we would like to invite you to join our community of the backstage artists. These backstage artists are the true inspiration behind our podcast.
They have pushed us to dig deeper, laugh louder and create endless magic.
Please like, share and subscribe our YouTube channel Pixels Unlimited to be part of this exciting journey.
And follow, leave us a comment or even compliment on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, etc. Links are in description below.
Roll camera!
Rolling. Shuru se shuru karte hain.
Hi, I'm Anant Rungta, Managing Director of Famous Studios. Thank you very much for having me on this podcast.
Welcome to our multilingual audiovisual podcast, The Backstage Artist. On day-to-day basis, how much are you involved? Because there are so many projects happening.
Yeah.
Like humanly, I'm not sure it is possible to keep track on everything.
Of course, it's not humanly possible. The day-to-day operations of the company, I focus on the top 20% of things that matter.
Oh, okay.
Because if you don't resolve an issue or you don't get a certain task moving at the right time, and I'm talking about this 20%, if you don't get that going, the remaining 80% of things won't happen. So the same goes even if I'm on set. I don't spend more than 30 to 40 minutes on set, because if I go on set, I will go and meet the people who I need to meet. So it might be the cinematographer, director, the brand representative who's coming, if it's an ad shoot, or it's a, you know, whatever, it's an agency head who comes. I would go and say, hello, I hope everything is okay. If there's anything you can do, please feel free to reach out. That's it. So I'll spend about 30 minutes there. So Jayant, whoever's on set, they will explain to me, look, this is what we're doing and we're trying a different technology.
Like, I was actually thinking how it was made.
Which?
Puma ad, which was...
Yes, yes. Puma actually was a completely computer generated, full CGI. It had nothing to do with any script, because we never got a script from the brand.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Everything was done in-house. We just got a technical brief from the brand where they got us the shoe and they said, okay, it's an all-weather shoe. That is what the communication needs to go out. So we're like, okay, now what do we do? So we used photogrammetry. We developed a 3D mesh design of the shoe. The 3D mesh was pulled into the software, and then we started simultaneously. We built a script which was approved by the client, and all this was done in-house with our existing team of the age bracket was between 18 and 28 years old. And they were able to knock out a film with showcasing different environments to basically explain that it's an all-weather shoe. And it was a multi-award winning commercial that was released around IPL last year.
It is really fantastic.
It was an exciting, you know, for them also. And I think what's important is, forget the awards and all that happened later, right? The process of delivering that project is what gave these guys confidence. And what do I mean by the process? The client was collaborative. Puma came to us and said, go nuts and just do what you think would look good. That gave so much confidence to our team, and they gave us time. They said, okay, look, we can give you about 45 days for this.
Oh, it was, but 45 days also not that big of a time.
It's not that big of a time, but I mean, for them, 45 days was a big thing, because the average time that a producer that needs is TVC is between 5 to 7 days after the production.
I know.
You know, it's like, bhai, aaj hi chahiye, you know. So for them, this was a very, very big, like, you know, we can relax and do it. And it shows in the work.
Of course.
We just recently delivered Animal for T-Series. So that itself was a very, very big learning curve for us. One of the sequences where our guys were unable to figure out how to deliver it, and it just led to a complete disaster in the middle. And I was called to the T-Series office by Mr. Sandeep Reddy. He called on and he's like, Anant, you have to come and meet me. So I was like, something has gone seriously wrong, and I obviously a little anxiety and whatnot.
Sure.
I took Jayant along with me, and what I realized was, for that same particular sequence that had a lot of environment creation, the way we were delivering it was a traditional way. The way we actually delivered it was a completely different way, using new technology, new software.
Okay.
We were able to give 5 options to the client within 5 hours.
Oh,
otherwise,
wow.
The same artist would have taken 25 days to give 5 options.
Would you mind
explaining? It's to do with matte painting.
Okay, yeah? Okay.
But we figured it out, okay?
Wow.
Again, that was a learning for me that look, one creative director will have a particular perspective because he might be reluctant to try a new technology and not get his hands dirty on it. But the other guy might not. The other guy can provide a solution within 5 hours. So I was like, it's so simple. What happens in life and in business, we make it so complicated.
Yeah.
We shut our eyes, our ears to suggestions.
Yeah.
And that is what leads to heartburn, it leads to cash burn, it leads to stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
When it doesn't need to happen that way.
So even you have stress and anxiety while meeting any of these directors or producers?
Yeah, I mean, see, stress and anxiety, look, end of the day, if you know you've screwed up, you need to be prepared to take it on the chin. What, instead of getting worried about what that person is going to say to you, figure out how you might have to apologize or give them the confidence to come back to you. And then say after a few weeks or whatever, just hit them up again and say, sir, if you're free, I'd like to drop in for a coffee. Or would you like to come in? I want to just guide you through what our learnings have been from that episode and how we've tried to fix it for the future. So that is how I do it on a daily basis with my clients.
Wow.
Yeah. Because that's the only way to build a relationship. Yeah. When they see that you are actually acting on a mistake and you are keeping them updated, it gives them the confidence to come back. And look, you can't go into a client's office and demand the entire project.
Yeah.
You have to be realistic, right? There might be 400 sequences of visual effects. You might go and say, okay, sir, we can really deliver these 20 well to you. At least start with those 20.
Yeah.
Why is it that you have to go and pick up the entire project?
Yeah.
But maybe I can say that for myself because my team is still lean compared to the others out there who have a lot more people and they have a lot more on their P&L that they need to take care of on a monthly basis.
Okay. I'm just going back to your childhood now.
Yeah.
Because your whole family has been in films for really some time, do you have any experiences of being on set and just maybe not understanding at certain point of time and then watching like, oh my God, this is something.
The film that really comes to my mind when I was a kid was Dil Chahta Hai. So studio number one is where Koi Kahe was shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I'd entered the studio and, you know, I was like, wow, this looks so cool. And I wasn't understanding what was going on. But then eventually when I saw the film, I was like, oh, yeah, that was at our studio, you know. And for me, it was a very, very big thing, you know. But usually when I was a kid, I used to enter the studio to meet a celebrity. Because at that time it was like, you know, Amitabh Ji, you know, Shah Rukh Khan, Amir Khan, Saif, Akshay Khanna, all of these guys. So at that time, they were like the ultimate, you know.
Yeah.
Usually, I used to land up going to the studio just to have a cheese sandwich, like a cheese toastie, because that's what was really good at the studio. And it used to always happen in my grandfather's cabin. So I used to enter and he used to call the PO and he used to be like, my grandson has come, bahar jaake cheese toastie le aao. And in our cafe at the time, we had this guy who used to make the best mocha. And with what? With that old Cadbury hot chocolate powder and Nescafe.
That
became a thing at Famous. You know, everybody used to come there just for the mocha.
Uh-huh.
You know, so those were the memories. Even things like other sensory things like the smell.
Yeah.
My father's cabin had a very different smell compared to my grandfather's cabin. Entered my head and it became like this thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I used to get a certain level of comfort when I used to sit in both their cabins, you know. And obviously they had these certain things on their desk that I used to always play with. And every time I used to go there, I used to expect ki kuch to milega mere ko, chocolate milega ya kuch to milega. And there used to be a thing where because it's been a family business, majority of the people that were working there, they kind of blended into the family,
of
right?
Of course,
so they used to also look forward, like, okay, you know, like
some child coming
the child is coming and Anant is coming, so we have to take him on a round of the studio. So kabhi terrace le jaate the, kabhi studio mein le jaate the. They used to make me meet some people. So you know, those were the very, very wholesome memories, like very, you know,
So, but just those experiences, like, do you remember sometimes when maybe you would have conversation with your father or your grandfather about films or any experiences?
You know, funnily enough, I never did.
Oh, okay.
When I used to go to the office, they were just so busy.
Mm.
And they must have thought in his head ki yaar isse kya baat karenge filmon ke bare mein, because at that time films ka itna tha nahi, you know, to talk about it. Today we actually talk about making. Yeah. People are also now talking, okay, yeah, how did we shoot this sequence? Yeah. Or we used an IMAX camera, we used this.
Yeah.
At that time there was no passion.
Yeah.
Like I was like, theek hai, whatever, you know, my dad owns a studio, big deal, like what's the big deal?
Okay.
Yeah, for me it didn't make much of a difference at the time. The passion for filmmaking actually came very late. The passion for filmmaking came more towards the end of my time at Fanatic.
Oh, okay.
So that's when I really started understanding film, started digging deep. What is the technology? Like I mentioned to you, that first stint of Famous was extremely boring for me.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I doing here? Nothing is happening. I was trying to, you know, open doors, but things were just very stale. It was like, this is not my scene. And my personality is very different from my father's. I just like to go out there and explore new things. Dad is like, okay, he's very, very calculative,
of course, is
something that I've learned from him. Whatever he's done has more or less been successful. But I've tried to do so much that my percentage of success is still at 50, I would say.
But you have joined itself like 2018.
Yeah.
And after that, you have already like two studios and there are so many
films.
Yeah,
there's a fair few things. I also produced a film in 2019.
My band play karne aa raha hai na. उनकी बस निकल रही है कल सुबह मुंबई से.
So even how was the experience of producing a film?
So that was the true experience, because I was on set most of the
whole
time.
Like
no, not the entire time. I think we had like a 40-day schedule. I was there for about 10 or 12 days.
Okay.
That was a learning curve, because I remember Hotstar expected the delivery at a certain time.
Okay.
And we were struggling to get clearance from NFDC, from the film certification point of view.
Okay.
Because it was just in the middle of COVID, so even these guys are not coming to work.
Right.
I physically went with my producer to get the certification cleared.
Oh, wow.
So that was an experience. I remember this was middle of the night at 3, 4 a.m. We had to, you know, do the dub, and we had to had some subtitling work that happened.
Yeah.
Again, during COVID, people
nobody
weren't working,
coming,
you know, at full steam.
So
I was getting calls at 4 a.m. every day, like 5 days before, handing over the footage to Hotstar that, sir, aap kuch karo, koi studio mein nahi aaya, falana. All of that was an experience.
Yeah.
I remember there were certain sequences in the film also. I was like, no, you know, we could have shot it differently. But at that time, I was too young to even put my foot down with my director or say, ki aise mat karo. I was like, let them do their thing, you know, let me give them their space to do it. But yeah, eventually it all turned out decent and we were able to, you know, sell it to Hotstar.
Yeah. So the Hotstar deal was already stuck before the project went
on? No. It came more into the picture. I think just after the second wave of COVID hit, that's when things started warming up, because at the time even Hotstar was looking for content. So they had bought our film as part of a bulk deal with some other producers and they just bought it off.
Film looks really good, and even it is a journey film. So a journey film is already a little bit difficult and also easy in some sense, because you don't have to have so much of a crew, but it is difficult because they're traveling all the time. And
the toughest part of that film was getting that van, which they converted into the whole thing.
That van was very beautiful.
That was the toughest part actually. Everything else went on really well.
You were involved for that film like from day one or how?
Yeah, so in fact, the script was already ready with Raj, who is still a very, very dear friend. And I was like, this is cool. Like, let's give it a shot.
Mm.
And Sanjay Shetty, who is the boss of Opticus Inc., he had also has a very good relation with my father. So dad said to me that if you are producing something, the only person I will allow you to produce it with is Sanjay.
Okay.
Because of that trust factor, you know, and it all worked out well. And then Sanjay only pushed me, ki Anant, come and sit through it, you'll get an idea.
Exactly.
So I remember at Varsova, we had done our first script reading with Kirti and all the other all the other guys who were part of the film. So that was an experience. So there were many firsts for me during that process, you know.
Yeah. So now, because you have also have experience of pre and post, do you, which one you like the most? Like, is there anything?
I think it's the entire process, to be honest. It now, I mean, for me, over the years, over the last 2 years, I've also narrowed down on a couple of genres of content that eventually I would like to produce under the famous banner, which is waiting for the right time. You know?
Okay.
Now also what's happening is with the industry, as everyone is aware, the OTT platforms are aggregating, you know, they're consolidating. Yeah. So it's going to be kind of a wait and watch game, because what are the types of content that the OTT guys are even looking to green light or green lit rather over the next 2 years? That's still, we have to wait and see, you know. I've also learned from my time running the Andheri studio, because we work with some of the big production houses that are work studios like us, and working with these big OTT platforms, they're still delivering content that they had signed 3 years back.
So, you know,
so I think it's a wait and watch game. But yes, by the end of this year, definitely a couple of stories I would like to start developing at least.
So, do you have any like genres which you may like? Or
See, for me, I'd mentioned earlier that I'm fairly big on the nationalism side. So, anything to do with the Indian Armed Forces or any kind of story that has really inspired the nation.
So, when you came into films after your sports stint, so were you ever like felt like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, or how did you get out of that space?
It was a major hangover for about 3 months.
Oh.
Not being in that, because that business was just full of traveling and watching live sports.
Of course.
That's any sports fanatic, fanatic's dream is to go watch a Sachin Tendulkar play, or a Virat Kohli play, or a Roger Federer, or a Ronaldo, or a Messi. Okay, that's, it's a dream.
Yeah.
That became a reality for me for those 4 years. But I think somewhere I was in that zone where I'm like, okay, fine, this is cool, this is good. But at the same time, I need to look at the family side of things. And look, the industry was really, you know, it all of a sudden it was like this, and then it just had this upward trend. I felt it was the right time. So I'd accepted that I need to move out of this, and this is the right time. Why can't I make it big in my own business, or at least try to make it big in my own business? Because I have that aggression from the old business to bring here.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, I had to be patient. It didn't, even right now, there's a lot of patience. But at least, you know, we've expanded. Now we have in Bombay three facilities, one in Hyderabad.
Exactly.
And now we're also looking at the foreign market to see where the opportunities are, you know.
And how do you keep up to date with, there are so many things happening on technical part of story. As you only mentioned, you have come up with the software. So there are like things happening literally as we speak.
Yeah.
So how do you keep up to date with that? And
because so there's only three ways.
Yeah.
One is you attend trade shows. You meet almost every single person on every single booth, just to understand what's going on.
Sure,
something that might not be of interest to you or have no relevance to your business now can become relevant 12 months down the line. So you need to keep an open mind. You can't be like, arey, isse bhi jaake milna. Just go and meet them, you know. Second is you need to trust your team. So when you have your monthly meetings, you need to have a couple of people who are close to you, who you can rely on the technology side. What's happening, what the clients are asking for, what is it that we're trying differently as an R&D, separate from the daily business. So yeah, that's the second thing. And third, you need to have the eagerness to learn. So you need to go online. There are plenty of these blogs that are available online. I can give one name right now. There's a website called Red Shark News that just talks a lot about post-production, right?
Oh, wow, okay.
All the new tech that's out there. So even what is happening at two or three of the large trade shows, they cover all of that news as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's like a bank of information. You need to go. And in social media as well, follow the right people, right? Especially on LinkedIn. Follow the right people. Follow the guys who run these big companies. So like follow the boss of Walt Disney. Follow the guys who are running Netflix. You know, whatever, whatever. And the other thing is you have to read books.
Yeah.
You have to read books. So
that
one thing
somehow is just lost.
Absolutely.
In this.
And one learning that I had during my trip to the US last August. So what they do in the US and in these shows in Europe, it's obviously a full exhibition with conference. And then these guys have these bookstores that they set up, like pop-up bookstores, only for books around the industry. So everything from, say, a coffee table book on the sketches of Batman, which is very, very beautiful, something you want to just buy and take it back, to books on visual effects, computer science, and physics.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So this time around, me and Jayant, we had gone for SIGGRAPH in California. And I opened one of these books. I'm like, what are all these mathematical calculations and all that stuff? So Jayant explained to me, he said, this is the difference between how Indian visual effects studios operate and how the guys in the US operate. They basically have computer science graduates who have a creative inclination. They start creating codes and basically write scripts for open source software in VFX. So for example, you are creating a creature. So say it's a horse or it's some like, like a dinosaur or whatever.
Sure.
They write a code for that, which helps the artist to rig movements better. Give more definition to the muscle, to the hair of the creature. I'm just giving one example. But that can be applied to almost everything.
Yeah.
They have that capability. So what happens is eventually when they create something, it becomes their own IP, their own asset.
Yeah.
So you're able to deliver something like that. If another producer comes and says, oh, I want a tiger. They go, oh, cool. I already have the asset, but I need to just rebuild it based on your shot or your sequence or how that tiger is going to be deployed in your film. That was a, that was like the biggest learning of the entire trip for me.
Yeah.
So now the next challenge for us is in India, how are we going to find this next generation of talent that is creatively inclined, but also has an expertise in coding, machine learning, and how we can set up a team that can really be a catalyst to our artists moving forward. So that is something new. And I've already started identifying other tech companies who can help us. Now, how that's all going to pan out, God knows, but we have to give it a try. If you don't give it a try, you'll never know, right?
Yeah, but this is like, this is literally amazing. I had no idea about this.
Till August, I had no idea. So now we know it's something, it's a learning, right?
So do you discuss your decision makings or whatever with your father, because he has such a huge experience?
Yes. So most of the times I don't, because he starts getting angry, starts shouting at me.
That is like this, somehow always a parent child.
Yeah. That is the father-son relationship does happen that way.
Yeah.
But I feel the last 3-4 months, I don't know, all of a sudden I've just started talking to him, you know, about every small decision.
Oh, wow.
And I think somewhere maybe that's the reason why that trust quotient has become a lot better as compared to what it was maybe a year back. And the other thing is, I'm ready to hear him being upset about a decision, or I'm ready to hear his disagreement on something. But at the same time, I'm prepared to argue that, or rather debate that with him with a fact. So for example, a few days back, he's telling me like, you know, oh, why can't you move the facility, the VFX team into shifts? I'm like, yeah, I can do that tomorrow. But the domino negative effect of that is that our footage will take much longer to deliver.
Yeah.
So he's like, nahi, tum to samajhta nahi hai, you'll save money, this and that. I'm like, Dad, I'm happy to do it. But effectively, you'll end up spending more because you'll be spending more man days to deliver the same shot.
Yeah, exactly.
So I told him, I'm not going to do it. But yes, I agree with your point. Maybe I could do this 6 months down the line when my team expands and I have a lot more on the order book. If I have 10 projects running simultaneously, then I will have to go on shifts because I can't make it a 1,000-member team.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe 6 months back, I would just be like, no, I'm not doing it. You don't know anything and you don't know how the business runs now, so don't interfere. So it's very different from saying that as to saying that, Dad, this is the downside of doing this. And maybe we should not do it. I don't think it's the right approach, you know. And the other thing is involving him in certain meetings, which he might pick out one or two things out of the 10 points in the agenda to add value. So what happens is at that age, a father feels a bit weak because he's like, okay, I'm not as involved as I used to be. So it's important to keep him in that meeting. And I always make it a point to my dad, I'm having this joint meeting with my team on X day. I would like you to be part of it. We're sitting in the conference room. Feel free to walk in, sit there, give your point of view, however and whenever you want to. And I think somewhere he's understanding that. That I genuinely want to involve him because at the end of the day, he's still very much active in the business, you know.
What is his age now? Like
He just completed 78 on December 5th. Yeah.
Wow. That is the age, anyways, he will have experience of so many years.
Many, many years, so, you know. So yeah, there's certain things that when, you know, when he talks to me about it, things actually, if you look at it deeply, those things have not changed.
Like basic filmmaking hasn't, and then the it's not
just filmmaking, it's also the people in the industry, it's about attitude.
Fair enough.
Nothing is, a lot of things have not changed, and how much ever we try to change it also, At some point, you need to put a full stop and be like, I don't want to waste more time on trying to change someone's mindset. Before my grandfather passed away, the last 4 or 5 years of his time, he shared a lot of stories with me about what used to happen.
Oh, wow.
And how we struggled and how we had a film processing laboratory at the time. And in 1971, you know, around that stage, or the industry just took a downward spiral. We had to shut down our laboratory business. You know, we had a lot of labor union problems at the time because laboratory fell under an industry. It wasn't a service because there was use of chemicals. So he spoke about many challenges that they had faced. Also, he spoke about how sometimes clients never paid even after giving the final reel, you give it out, the client wouldn't pay. Yeah. So these are the things that, you know, he shared with me and he taught me and those are the learnings, yeah.
And this is just a beautiful experience to just have that much of a backlog, but also just do your own thing.
No, absolutely. I think there is obviously a lot on your shoulder in terms of responsibility. But when you see the future is bright, then and there are going to be opportunities, you got to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was there any project or film or an ad or whatever, so which made you think, other than Animal, because you have mentioned Animal. So other than that one project, when you joined or before you even came in, so was there any project like that which made you sit up and think, okay, fine, maybe I should do it this way, or maybe should, like, whatever that is?
No, I think usually what happens is you trust your team to develop a workflow to deliver a certain project.
Sure.
Sometimes that workflow doesn't help.
Yeah.
It turns out to be a complete disaster. I don't think till last year I even had the capability to give an alternate solution. I was still learning the technical side of things because I had to spend my time in the technical side and I had to spend half my time developing the business. So I couldn't give 100% effort. Today, my creative directors, they're on the floor. They see the benefits of technology in a day-to-day business. I would see it once in a week or twice in a week. So for me to achieve a certain learning, it took me time.
Yeah.
But now I have the confidence to go and pitch to the client. So today, even if my director or my sales head or someone who's not there, I can go and single-handedly pitch to a client without any problem. I don't need someone to be there with me. Because it's taken that time to build that confidence.
Yeah. Confidence in yourself and also to the client. Too, so that
confidence in what you are investing in. Confidence in your people. Confidence that, okay, fine, today you might be burning money in a certain department that you can turn it around.
I had learned somewhere that you would be okay that if somebody shifts the department to department, but they just have to be very...
Absolutely, yeah. I've had peons in my office become visual effects artists.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is really cool.
That's pretty much the start and end of that.
That is really cool.
A lot of people have been asking me about the how AI is going to take away jobs.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask that, yes.
Yeah, and I would like to say very categorically on camera that is not going to take away anyone's jobs. But there are two things about AI. AI will basically provide or be a catalyst to get rid of tasks that take too much time. Talking about laborious tasks. It will end that over the course of the next 2 years. Second, very important for the existing talent in the industry to start embracing AI rather than running away from it.
Yeah.
And once you embrace AI, you will only get a lot more time to focus on building your creative side or adding more skill sets to what you already know. For example, in visual effects, there is a segment of discipline called rotoscopy.
Yeah.
Rotoscopy is now slowly AI will start taking over and finishing 50% of the task.
Yeah.
Now, what is the advantage of that? Not only does it save time for the producer and the studio, second, there talent that is actually sitting there and cutting out characters from the green screen, they will get the opportunity of now learning or upskilling as compositors or matte painting or 3D or CG. So you're anyway building. Today, AI is not going to create a 3D character. Okay, you might give it, like you might give Midjourney a command that do this. It might create something, but that's only going to be 10%. You still have to work on the movement, the rigging, the this, the that. Yeah. So in every department that AI is going to come in, there will be some other opportunity that you will be able to create for yourself. The third thing is, this is the worrying part. If the existing talent does not get used to this technology and upskill it now. The next generation that is learning AI as part of their school syllabus will take over. So that is the only worry. But it's not going to be like you'll be jobless.
So if I want to be a part of Famous Studios, then how can I be a part of it?
As I said earlier, we are always looking for talent with good attitude, whether it's management, whether it's artist driven or whatever.
If there's
an opportunity at the time, we're more than happy to consider and see how we can build a business together.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you for showing so much love for the Backstage Artist. And stay tuned for our next episode with ever so humble and smiling couple, Mr. Joel and Miss Gemma Fonseca.
So I went for a shoot and I seen glamour, Phuket ka khana, Phuket ka cold drink, everything.
I learned on the job, basically with him, on the job. It's not like any school or anything.
Please like, share and subscribe our YouTube channel Pixels Unlimited to be part of this exciting journey.
And follow, leave us a comment or even compliment on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, etc. Links are in description below.